Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freundo, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language, and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hypothetical.
This is the Nintendo Voice Chat Podcast. This is episode 69. I am your host and the Nintendo Executive Editor at IGN. My name is Craig Harris. And with me here this week, as always, is Scott Bromley.
Hey, Internet. I'm going to talk a little quieter this week because apparently a lot of you are very upset with me.
Spiking the mics! Oh, I told you not to do that. But yet, he does it anyway. But yep. That's what Scott does. Also with us is Sam Claiborne.
What's up, interdubes?
Awesome. Are you going to spike the mic, too?
I will never spike mics.
Oh, okay. And also, this is the twofer, right?
Yeah, yeah, two-for-one deal.
Jack DeVries.
Double dosing of
How's
Jack.
How's it go?
There's a two-for Tuesday here at WW Nintendo Voice Chat Podcast. Coming up next, a little Hooma Stank.
Actually,
let's talk about the Hooma Stank game.
Okay.
I have
Go for it.
I thought you were.
Yeah, pretend like you know about video games for a second, Bromley.
I'll let you talk.
No.
Come on.
No, I don't want to.
Probably
let's see your improv skills over here.
You want me to talk? You want me to talk? All right, let's start talking. Okay. First of all, I want to talk to all those readers who, in the comments last week, were like, oh, you woke up my mom. Oh, the retirement home was complaining about all this noise. A, why are you listening to a podcast at 2 in the morning? You should be sleeping or drinking.
Yeah.
Two.
Well, keep in mind that our readers might not be of drinking age.
So they should be sleeping or drinking.
So mom can drink.
Yes. So two, how loud are you listening to this effing podcast? Right. Are you cranked to 11 or are you just like...
What, my radio goes to 11.
I know, but is it so low? Are we talking so low that when someone gets excited, okay, it shakes the house, it freaks out? No, I'm not done.
All right,
I'm
all
not
right.
done. What I'm complaining about is all these kids who apparently live in retirement homes with Wii's, because that's, you know,
yeah, that's
for
their
demographic. Yeah, sure. Stop it. Stop it, okay? Just deal with it,
okay.
All right? It's an effing podcast. You're supposed to listen to it with those crappy white earbuds.
And stop making fun of Jack's voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, my voice is perfectly normal
it
for
sounds
a girl
like a
my
lady.
Age.
It sounds like a lady's voice, and because that's what Jack is. He's a very beautiful lady.
That's okay. The comments I get is I ramble a lot.
So
I will try not to ramble too much in this podcast. I'll let you guys talk.
With that said.
What?
I'm going to talk very soft.
Oh, now people are going to crank it up, and then when you do that one little blast.
Everybody.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's going to be like the Andy Kaufman trick, right?
Well, those people shouldn't have complained about me. can we get some...
This is borderline dead air. I can't really let this go.
It's okay. Let's start the podcast
all right.
now.
Let's start the podcast. Let's actually put a little... Let's do our pitches first.
All right. Can we get some smooth jazz on here so it's like NPR?
Pitches.
All right. Get your Facebook pitch out of the way.
Why are we doing pitches in the beginning?
Because no one listens at the end.
Oh, my God. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you like this Nintendo podcast.
Right.
And if you love IGN, then you are going to want to be a fan of IGN on Facebook. So you should go to www.facebook.com/IGN, become a fan, where you will see exclusive behind-the-scenes photos and videos of all things IGN before they even hit the internet.
And I also wanted to segue into... or
no,
Craigway into the fact that somebody has set up a Nintendo voice chat fan page on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah.
Shut up, really?
Blake
are you
DeBari.
Implying that it's one of us by saying somebody so coyly?
No, a guy named Blake DeBari. I apologize if I'm getting the name incorrect, but he set up a fan page for this podcast. And
shut up.
So far, it's got 36 members.
Wow.
36.
My band only has like 500.
what's your band?
I'm not talking about in the air.
You can pitch it.
No, I don't want to pitch it. I'm not going to pitch the band.
He's in a little band. He's in a little
stupid.
Aww. He's in a little rock and roll band called Foreigner.
He's got the mustache for it. even though we're not going to hit the reader mail until later in the podcast, if you want to get your questions answered on the air or on this recording when you download it, send it to nvc@ign.com. Now we got that out of the way.
Hmm. And we'll do it at the end of the
show. And we'll do it at the end of the show, but now that you know... While you're listening, send us some questions on your computer and all that fun stuff. Last week was the Game Developers Conference.
It was.
It sure was.
You guys had so much fun there.
We had a blast.
I've got the wristbands. Romley
and I, were the only people in the
office. Why do you have your wristbands on?
Because, one, it's a conversation starter because it looks like I just came out of the hospital. Uh-huh. And when I'm at a bar, people are like, whoa,
it does look like
you
a
just come out of a hospital? Uh-huh. I'm like, yes. And then I don't know anywhere to go from there. Because it says Rock Band on it, so it's super cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, Rock Band has a party every month.
Yeah, I'm going to
because they have all they have those have DLCs.
And
they
but Green Day was supposed to be at this one, and they weren't.
They weren't.
What?
Mm-hmm. Green Day was supposed to demo Green Day Rock Band,
uh-huh.
and instead, Harmonix demoed it and failed in the middle of their song.
can I just say who started that rumor? Was it?
I think it was Jim Riley.
Was it IGN's Jim Riley?
Yeah.
Because
the press release for it mentioned that there'd be a special surprise.
Yeah,
and there wasn't a surprise at all. There was no surprise.
Surprise was Jack DeVries sitting on standing on stage singing Lady Gaga.
Yeah,
the surprise is your hangover the next day.
The surprise, the surprise was Veronica Belmont coming up to me going, I've never met any man who knows all of the words to Monster without looking at the screen by Lady Gaga. You have impressed me. And I said, come on, dude. It's Lady Gaga.
You know a Belmont?
Yeah.
Wow.
Belmont?
A Belmont.
Hold on. I just dropped in.
Not a Castlevania Belmont. Like a normal Belmont.
Okay.
Yeah.
A Belmondo.
But the big happening at GDC was Sony's press conference, where they showed off what they call the PlayStation Move.
Yeah. The Sony Me Too.
Perfect. Perfect. Not to you know, slam on any sort of company and trying to innovate or anything like that.
I thought we slammed on Nintendo in this podcast.
We do. Okay. We do. But basically, all the information came out of the Game Developers Conference. I don't know, Scott, were you there?
No, I was not allowed.
And you were not there either, Sam. No. But Jack was
in.
There. He snuck
I
in.
I have the wristband to prove it.
But I waited for the previews every day with bated breath. It was an exciting
event
for me.
Were you excited?
I was super excited.
So,
yeah.
So
not about the Sony Move.
Well, that's the thing. Oh. So obviously,
Metroid, I was excited.
Sony is going after the Wii market. They, even at the beginning of the presentation, had said, congratulations on Nintendo for getting a whole new demographic and establishing motion controlling.
Name,
and all that right at the beginning, because then they showed it, and it was like, oh, Wii Motion. That's all it is. It's a You know they use that sound effect on Roadrunner arcade game?
They do.
When you die, yeah. you get that.
That was a good Craigway.
We're not going to talk about But, so...
You touched it, right?
I touched it.
You?
Oh, touched I fondled it. I twisted it, turned it, waggled it.
I was pretty surprised that it is indistinguishable from the Wiimote and Nunchuck combination.
Oh, that's not true.
I thought well,
what are you talking
I mean,
about?
Visually,
this one doesn't have wires.
But
neither does.
It's just the function of it in games uh-huh. is just identical.
Well, it and not only that, the way they were pitching it, they you know in the photos and stuff like that up on a stage, mm-hmm. they even had the Wii remote in one hand with the wrist strap, and the other hand they had the what they call the sub controller.
Yeah. Get ready for two wrist straps now. Yeah. Too.
Well, no,
there's a wrist strap on each hand in all their press pictures.
Really?
Yep.
On the nunchuck
as well.
One,
yeah.
did not. I'm sure of it.
It does in their pictures.
Wow.
If you watch the new trailer on IGN.com.
Well, here's the deal. So whenever we go to a Nintendo event and you play Wii games on the Wii remote, they always make you wear wrist strap. Always. Even if you're playing it in horizontal classic mode, they like, put the wrist strap on. At this press conference, Sony's press conference, they're like, eh, screw it. You can just play it. I don't care. And even they're
Do
on
they
stage.
Feel lighter?
They're on stage wailing around on the thing and this then the wrist strap's whacking them in the face and stuff like that.
Do they feel like that empty plastic like the PlayStation controller the 6X felt like? The 6X 3 or whatever?
Not at all.
They had a good weight to them.
6X 1.
Have they announced what the Move condom is going to look like?
Well, that comes in later when people start destroying their televisions.
Okay. Although they might not because the that knob on the top
is
it
rubbery or is it soft?
It's soft.
Is it soft?
It's like a rubbery thing. Yeah, I totally squeezed that knob.
Squeeze in the head.
Yeah. Are they actually just gonna like say screw it and just go? Yeah, buy a regular condom.
So it's a regular one. It
looks like a dildo.
Anyway.
One at a time, people. One at a time.
Is the nunchuck really light?
What's that?
Is the what is it called? The peripheral subcontroller.
Yeah, the subcontroller.
Is that really light?
You know, I can't remember weight too much. I was just more. Actually, I don't even know if I really held on to the nunchuck that
None
much.
Of the games I played used...
SOCOM
the,
did.
You, okay, so I didn't play that one. None of the ones I played used the sub-controller. I think it was only SOCOM that they were showing off that did it, and I didn't care. So, but yeah, I mean, to get into it, obviously it's copying Wii Motion Plus.
It's a blatant. That's why they said at the beginning of the press conference, you know, congratulations to Nintendo, because then they showed it, and it was pretty much a blatant copy.
Right. That said...
Yes.
Why would anyone expect them not to? I think that's anything. If there's something that's super popular, you're going to try to get in on that too. And that's basically what the press conference
Very true.
Was. It was, hey, Nintendo made a ton of money on this. We want some of that. Yep. So here's our thing, and we're going to try to do it better than what Nintendo did.
And their focus was that they want to attract the Wii audience for when they're ready to move to the HD market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a smart, I guess it's a smart decision to make. Unfortunately, the system itself... it's a supplement. It's not a standard for the system itself. Whereas the Wii, the Wii controller, you know, Chuck, that comes packaged with every single system. Everyone's going to have that. Whereas on Sony, even though they're going to say that there's going to be a bundle with the stuff that you need, it's not not everyone's going to have it. So to get the support in their games, it's going to be slow and stagnant, I think.
Yeah. Right. And the Wii means something so different to consumers now. That I don't see them being able to catch up in the slightest with what they want to do, access that casual whatever Wii market. It's just I'm looking forward to the games they're making for it, actually, like shooters and stuff, because I think those work great on the Wii, and I want to play them in HD. But I can't see like all their little mini game collections and anything having any popularity, lasting or otherwise.
So the one of the things Sony said was that developing for the PlayStation Move is going to be very similar to developing for the Wii, so developers won't have to change what they do. So I can see potentially all third party Wii games just also coming out on the PS3.
Yeah. Yes,
for Move. You know whether or not they sell as well.
Carnival games, family game night.
Like, well, all those. They might be limiting it to just the ones with Wii Motion Plus because that's really what Move does.
No. But, see, that's the thing. They have the pointer stuff. The way the system works, the way the Wii works, is you have to have that sensor bar up there, and then the Wii remote has the IR camera on it.
Right.
That senses where that sensor bar position is. So that's how it gets the pointer. Mm-hmm. the Wii, I'm sorry, the PlayStation Move, it's almost exactly the same, but just in reverse. Yeah. The camera is now in front of the television, and then you're holding the light that it's sensing. So it's just doing it in reverse, just sensing that stuff. So that's why that can imply, like, you know, so if they're making, say, Resident Evil Dark Side Chronicles, they can totally do it. Right. They don't really need to do much other than sense where that pointer is.
Right.
You're doing some cool experimenting, right? You covered up the ball.
There were a few demos. There were demos.
it was pretty neat stuff.
Yeah, there were demos. My earpiece keep coming off, and I don't know why. But anyway, there were a few demos that had different kind of themes. There was one that was called augmented reality, and just like the E3 demo last year, where they had the guy stand on stage and he just waved the thing around, and there was a sword that would show up where where the remote was in his hand. It followed it like one to one. It was perfect. It was beautiful. I was like, wow, that's gonna be really cool. And so I played that demo, and it's totally true.
Awesome.
It not only like follows where the position of the is in your hand, but it's also how it's being twisted, and subtle motions are being recognized.
It doesn't lose it if you put your hand off screen or anything, right?
No, well, that's the thing. The light, it recognizes it because of the light, but also the twists and turns of the motion.
And then when you put it behind your back,
put it behind the back, it remembers for the last known position of it, and if like also covering it up, but it will start lagging and it'll start drifting once you lift the light, put the light back into the camera's view, then the object snaps right back.
So that's the biggest difference between its properties and the Wiimote, is that when you put a Wiimote off screen, it gets confused
or it just shuts off.
Or sometimes it's intentional, like in Metroid, you have to point off screen and then it'll go into a different view.
Yeah, well, the PlayStation Move, that light on top is pretty huge and bulbous. I guess it's the best way of calling it, right? It's bigger than the remote itself, so it's hard for it to not be able to see it if you turn it away. Mm-hmm. Whereas on the Wii Remote, when you turn the remote away, well, the sensor is no longer pointing towards the sensor bar and has absolutely no idea where it is in 3D space. So that said, the idea of the system definitely has... it's a stronger technology.
Yeah.
Then obviously, 4 years later, 4 years of the Wii, you would hope that this thing would be stronger technology.
Right.
But then there were stuff like, the pointer stuff, a game called The Shoot, which is just a rail shooter. You're just running around shooting things using where the position of the light is in 3D space, and so it's very similar to the Resident Evil Dark Side Chronicles. Mm-hmm. I felt it was a little laggy.
Yeah.
In my demo. You actually had to have a huge throw with the remote to kind of get it to move. But then once you go to the calibration screen, then you can calibrate it and move it just a little bit, and it's fine. But it's still laggy. It's still caught behind.
So that's when it's putting – that might be because it's putting graphics over what's on screen though, right?
Well, I think it has something to do with
what – it's probably not the motion.
It has something to do with what the PlayStation Eye is being picked – what's being picked up, because I did notice that even in the augmented reality stuff, the video feed of the PlayStation Eye is just like one or two frames behind real life.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's a pretty
serious –
thing. Like to say that it's laggy, that's
– So they need to figure out how to get the PlayStation Eye to be – one-to-one, what you're seeing is a mirror of what's going on. I know it's possible, So it seemed like that lag, that camera lag, it was being applied to the shoot. And, so when you're moving the thing, it's just kind of caught behind maybe one or two frames. And then they had stuff that you were saying that, you were laughing about, oh, there's probably going to be some Wii ports. And there totally was. The Brunswick Bowling from Crave.
Sure.
It's a terrible game on the Wii. And I it wouldn't be fair to say that it was terrible at this show, but it was. It was in pre-alpha form. Mm-hmm. But it was just bad. And
so we might get everything, though, like Zack and Wiki and all this stuff like could come from the past.
It certainly could. It certainly could. Third-party games that didn't do well as downloadable on PlayStation Network.
Mm-hmm.
Totally doable.
Yeah.
Excited for that potential?
See, absolutely awesome. Not. Yeah. Like, I kind of want to move on from the nunchuck, Wiimote thing now, because Nintendo's been talking about their new hardware so much.
What are you talking about? You don't want to see Imagine Party Babies?
Well, games like Dewey's Adventure that didn't do well on the Wii, can come back as a, motion-controlled game.
That was the Raindrop one?
Yeah. It's same thing with Elebits. Elebits did pretty good. I liked Elebits.
I know.
I liked it.
Those story segments were just
they
brutal.
Were pretty cheesy, yeah.
Mom and Dad love me.
The game itself was pretty fun, where you could pick up cars and throw them up, around and over fences and stuff. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was everything I hoped Ghostbusters would be.
On top of a just better, stronger technology with your thing, you've got all the benefits of having to be a PS3, where you have a better online community setup.
Yep.
Online play.
Better.
So,
not the best, though.
It's getting there.
It's fine. It works. I've never had a problem with PSN, except for when it broke worldwide.
I've had a problem because none of my friends have a PS3.
Oh, well, you know, that's a personal problem, Sam. Maybe you should get some better friends.
Well,
my problem is all my friends have the Wii, and then what am I going to do?
Yeah,
well, you don't play enough.
I was playing Heavy Rain this week, and I saw you online.
Me too, yeah. It was a good game. Good game. Anyway, if they start doing it where it's going to be, you know, basically all Wii games are also coming out for the PS3, then I'm going to start playing them on the PS3 because I have friends on the PS3 and I have the ability to play online, and it's got better graphics, and I know that's a shallow thing to say, and it's got trophies.
I was going to say,
nothing to do with trophies, but trophies is a part of the online community aspect as a whole that I like better with the 360 and the PS3. So I'm excited. So there are plenty of really good motion-based games on the Wii, and I'm looking forward to getting the chance to play good games like that on a system that has a stronger community and online.
Well, yeah.
There's no way I'm buying 8 more peripherals and a camera.
Knowing Capcom, at the very least, Capcom is huge on ports. And if there's an existing technology, they'll just remake a game over and over again as success. I guarantee you that Resident Evil, Dark Side Chronicles, and the Umbrella Chronicles will make it to, even though they haven't
announced Resident Evil 5 is going to be, has motion
controls
on the PS3.
But I mean, that's so easy for them to do. I mean, it did well enough to stay on Wii, but, you know, as a business plan, it would be dumb if they weren't even considering it. And I think it's probably going to happen, which is, you know, unfortunate for people who have a Wii and only a Wii. They like their exclusives. They like a reason for buying the Wii. Yeah. But, you know, if Capcom wants to make money, then that's why people are making games, right? To make money. You know?
I felt like Sony was really on a roll the last couple of months. They've had great games coming out, exclusives, looking good, looking like the best hardcore system for the first half of this year. And then they debuted this, and I just thought they're just going to take a hit from this. They just popularize. I mean, it just seems like such a copycat weirdo move for them to do. It makes them
Sony catch-up company. But Sony has always copied what works, obviously.
Yeah,
you know,
turn down your stereo, kids. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Craigway.
So obviously the PlayStation DualShock controller was a copy of the original Super Nintendo controller, just with an extra two sets of shoulder buttons, right?
Yeah. So the original DualShock without the analog sticks.
Mm-hmm. And maybe is that what it was called? It was called DualShock, right?
I think it was called something else.
I think they didn't call it the DualShock until they
Rumble it was just exactly. So it was just a regular PlayStation controller was just a copy of the Super Nintendo controller
with
two
handles.
Extra shoulder buttons. And speaking of handles, why don't we list up some of the things that Sony hasn't copied yet?
And what Craig's referring to is we were talking earlier about the GameCube handle. A handle for your system. A little handle.
Yes, Nintendo innovated the handle on a system, and Sony has not copied that yet.
It worked really, really well. I mean, I still see kids out today walking around their cubes.
But, you know, the best implementation of that I saw is when somebody tied it to the back of a truck and dragged it, and it still worked.
Well,
Remember that video?
Was that a YouTube video? Was that the kid that was so into GameCube that the brother found a broken one and tried to trick him into thinking it was his real system and threw it in the air and he smashed on the ground. You remember that?
Yeah.
All right.
Handle, man. Handle.
Yeah, the handle was a big Nintendo innovation that Sony has yet to copy.
What else did you come up with?
I came up with the cartridge lock.
Or just cartridges.
cartridges in general. They have not done, but the innovation of on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
When you turn the power on, it locked the cartridge into place.
Yep.
And even Nintendo abandoned that later on because the cartridges changed. The Super Nintendo had that eject button to pop the cartridges out, so you don't have to grab the system and then pull down to pull up the cartridge.
They put that eject 6 inches in the air. Ping.
So people were turning the system and then putting the cartridge, but then forgetting that the system was on, so the cartridge locked in. They hit the eject button.
It's not like it's bad to take out a cartridge.
Break the pins inside there.
That was actually the first Super Nintendo handle. Put a cartridge in, you can carry it around with you.
No, totally. Yeah, it's all locked in there. So later
the NES
on
had the push down lock too, so they kind of locked in cartridges.
You could flip the lid open and use that as a handle as well.
The Game Boy had a lock too.
That's right. The Game Boy did have a lock.
Game Boy had a lock.
Yeah, that's
it had a little
Game Boy
piece of plastic.
You're right. You're right. It did. Yeah. And see, that's the thing. So did they abandon that in the later systems?
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Game Boy Pockets did not have a lock.
It's an extra piece of plastic to break.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. bean-shaped buttons.
Yeah, the bean-shaped buttons.
Sony has not copied the bean-shaped buttons.
He's referring to the X and Y on the GameCube controller. Okay. The little kidney, the kidney buttons. What about the third handle? They never did that.
Third handle.
Yeah, the Nintendo 64.
Oh, right.
Third handle.
The middle thing?
Yeah.
The male controller.
Middle analog stick.
Middle analog stick, yeah. Anything else?
Third handle. I love third handle.
I have cereal.
Oh, yeah.
Sony has yet to make a PlayStation cereal.
Is that true?
I'm sure so.
Unconfirmed at this point.
What kid is running out?
There might have been like a Crash Bandicoot cereal.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know.
Polygon Man cereal?
That's the thing for our readers. Find us a Sony PlayStation cereal of some kind.
Yeah. Also,
how about any breakfast treat, like a toaster strudel or any sort of Pop-Tart?
Find us any Saturday morning cartoon based on a Sony property. Look at this. Dead air.
What?
You guys are just
I kind of did not even follow that. What?
Sony never had any confidence in any of their mascot characters. They're like, oh, Sly Cooper is going to be a great Saturday morning cartoon. F no. Nintendo's like, hey, let's get Mario out there. Let's get Zelda out there.
I think it's just a worry that they don't own the IPs.
F them.
Because I don't think they own Sly Cooper.
Well, but there was never a Polygon Man cartoon.
That's true.
They own that.
Yeah, that thing would pop balloons.
That thing was a huge character for Sony. I remember he's still walking around theme parks. The Sony theme park.
Yeah, we were talking about this. The thing I really like on the GameCube controller that's not there anymore is the analog triggers that click at the end. They go ka-ping.
The classic controller on the Wii has it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but the classic controller Pro does not, because it's on analog.
Weird.
Why would it have to?
Well, because it'd have to have the click, because games use that click to play old GameCube games. They'd want to make their controller.
You can't play
that.
GameCube games with the classic controller.
Oh, you can't?
Oh. You have to plug in a GameCube controller.
I never had one.
Have you ever played a Wii before?
No. Although you mentioned a good point, classic controller Pro is something that Nintendo copied.
It is a DualShock. That's the funny thing right there.
They even colored it black to make it look just like one.
Yeah. To me, the classic controller Pro looks like a classic controller with third-party attachments to it.
It does.
So, like, you know, remember those little wings that you could buy for your Game Boy that you would attach to the back of where the battery pack was? So you had these little wings hanging off your Game Boy? That's what that classic controller Pro looks like. It looks like they attached to that. But yeah, so we've come full circle. Kind of worked.
Yeah, it worked.
It totally worked. That's our solution for the soundboard. We don't have one yet, so Scott's over there with an iPhone and some app. How much did that app cost you, Sam? Or Scott?
Scott, I can leave right now. this app was a whole.
Was it 99 cents?
It was a whole $0.
Oh.
Yep.
Craig, can you tell us about your FaceTime with Mr. Metroid? Sakamoto?
That wasn't funny.
What
do you want to know?
I don't know. I saw you wrote like two articles from that experience.
Yeah, I still have to transcribe the entire interview, but it was pretty interesting. He was very open about answering questions, especially about Metroid Dread.
He seemed like a cool guy. Like,
he's very nice.
His thoughts and his pictures and stuff.
The one thing he was really kind of cool about was because he had a panel at GDC, and he was talking about how Metroid Other M, his original vision was going to be a 2D. On rails Metroid game in 3D, but just on rails.
Yeah.
And so people,
can you explain that a little bit? Because that really threw me off when you said on rails.
And that's apparently threw off a lot of people. So like some people took that as like a super or a Star Fox game where you're flying through levels and you know shooting things as you're going.
Or I thought
around.
Scrolling Mario levels, like you couldn't stop. That's what I think of on rails. Like,
well,
but that's not necessarily the case.
And that's the thing. So I asked him. I asked him about the idea of being on rails and how long into the development did it change? Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I think people misinterpreted what I meant by on rails, and I meant that you could move back and forth within this area, but it just the camera would just follow along in the 3D world. And then I said, well, I didn't misinterpret it. Or at least in my interpretation of what you were saying was a game like Klonoa, where you can move to the right or to the left, and the camera would follow around dynamically. But you couldn't hop off this rail that you were going on. And
a good example of that is Knights. You go into the background, but the camera just follows you
exactly.
There, and you're
from the side. It's a side-scrolling game, but just done with a camera that in 3D elements.
And you can even go back and forth in Knights. You can fly freely around a big kind of circular.
Yeah, it's a fixed path. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I brought up Klonoa, he's like, oh, yep, exactly. That's exactly what I meant. And so that was pretty cool.
But they didn't go that route. Well, they did, kind of. Right?
No.
But they have the...
No, he said that the controls that that Team Ninja came up with opened up the design and said, okay, we're hopping off that rail and we're going to make it a full exploring 3D game.
Yeah.
It's just that...
Couldn't be happier about the full exploring 3D game.
Yeah, exactly. It's just it's no longer an analog stick game. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I also brought up the whole analog stick of the nunchuck, and he says no. There is not even an option
totally
for that.
Yeah, he totally hates on the nunchuck.
He's not hating on it. And I have to transcribe exactly what he said. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
I hate the nunchuck.
No, I asked him, why do you want this to be a Wii Remote only game, and I have the answer.
He's adamant about it, right?
Yeah, I have the answer. I just don't remember what it is. Yeah. I have to transcribe it, put it up on the site. So later today or tomorrow, go on our site, IGN.com.
I think it's great
how
much he's like willing to talk about the old school Metroids and stuff like that, and how much he likes those.
Yeah,
like I mean, that's really great because when Retro took over, they moved farther and farther away from like the original Metroid scheme to its great benefit.
Yeah,
like, it's fantastic games. But just to see that there's someone that's still there that was like, you know, we're going to make an older Metro-style Metroid again.
It's clear to me that they're making this game to appeal to the Japanese market. Because the game itself, or Metroid the series, does not do well in Japan. I mean, it sells enough, but it's way more popular here. And I have a feeling that they went with Team Ninja to appeal to a broader market, not just the American Western gamers. You guys are quiet over there.
You guys, I'm just watching your little tea party happen.
Uh-huh. Involve you.
No, it's fine. No, Jack and I will be over here making more confetti.
Okay. Are you going to be doing the Rip Taylor stuff?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So just watch for that. Jack and I are going to go into our own little match game here in a second. Dumb Dora is so dumb. How dumb is she? When she went to the blank, she thought a blank. Bow.
That was terrible.
Yeah. That was pretty terrible. By the way, kids, the match game was a television show that came out before you were born. Ask your parents about it.
On the Game Show Network.
Ask your kids.
But then again, if you go on the Game Show Network now, it's all like poker.
No, it's not. No, match game is on every single day.
Really?
Oh yeah, I
and it's super old Family Feud.
Yeah,
I found the episode with my parents on there.
Oh really?
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So wait, your parents are on as the kids of your grandparents, or
yeah,
wow.
When my dad was a teenager, he was on Family Feud.
Good grief!
I'm still waiting for the episode of. They don't show Price is Right anymore, but that bummed me out because I wanted my episode to reappear.
Are you on there?
Network. Yeah, I was on Price is Right in 2001.
Did you get up on stage?
Yeah.
Oh really?
Did you win a new car?
What game did you play?
I played Master Key.
Oh.
Yeah, and it was funny because when I got up on stage and they're announcing the three prizes that I have. Or the prizes that I have to that I can win in addition to the car, Bob Barker's like, Scott, I don't want to intimidate you or anything, but this is one of the hardest games we have on the show. So I'm like, there is no skill involved at all. All right, and we're back, and I'm just standing there like, what? All right, well, I guess the cord keeper dryer is $48. Yeah, that was a fun experience.
I love game shows.
Oh, why is there not a good game show video game?
They try. They certainly try.
Have you ever played Family Feud for the Nintendo Entertainment System?
No, but
I played so good.
I played Hollywood Squares for the Nintendo Entertainment System, and boy, you remember Hollywood comedian Daz?
No.
He was always the center square. He was hilarious. And then there's like that game has like three questions out of the seven you get are all Bible scripture questions.
Weird.
And how do they do the bluff on
it's like Daz goes, it's because Mary was pregnant with a werewolf. True or false?
So 1 vs. 100 on Xbox Live
is amazing.
There you
and
go.
I've been okay, yeah, I agree with that because
and that's
I've been,
the best way to do it.
And I've been in the mob and I won a crap load of Xbox points because there were only two of us left. And the guy
if only
up.
Nintendo had these game shows. We have Press Your Luck. I don't know, did you ever review that one?
Press Your Luck.
Yeah, Press Your Luck. No whammies, no whammies.
I
see that at Target all the time.
Is there a zombie Peter Tomarkins in there going, I should have never gone on that plane?
Yeah.
Did he die?
Yeah, he died in a plane crash.
When?
Like 7 or 8 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, he was flying. He was like John Denver and flying some experimental plane over in L.A. Because
I saw that.
Wife,
well, I mean, I probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I
he
saw
got
that.
The whammy.
What are you guys
I saw that
about
documentary
him?
About oh,
guys.
The
about,
guy that
about
yeah.
the dude about
yeah.
the dude who figured out the yeah. press your luck the pattern
yeah.
on press your luck.
Was it solved?
Yeah. What he did was he would tape the show and he would watch it and he would figure out the light pattern on the press your luck board. And he got on the show and it had to be a two-parter.
Two-part series, yeah.
It had to be a two-part episode because he just sat there and was like, no, stop. And they're like, 5,000 in a spin. All right, great.
Yeah.
Stop. 5,000 in a spin.
Yeah.
And he just got up to like, it was some.
Oh, it was like 100 something
$175,000 in one episode.
Did they sue him?
No, they were like, oh, what do we do? He can never come back. And,
right.
And then he ended up blowing through his money.
Yep. Really bad investments. And there was going to be a movie with Bill Murray.
With Bill Murray. Yeah.
See Steve Wiebe at
I did. He was always talking to somebody.
He got toppled by a doctor in New York.
Really?
Yeah. How about that? A handsome plastic surgeon takes down Billy Mitchell and Steve Wiebe. Guy who had never, ever seen the game before the documentary. And he's like,
He picked it up after the documentary.
He saw the documentary, not even the year it came out. In 2008, he saw it and he's like,
I can do that.
Maybe I could do that.
Yeah. See, kids, boom, you can do this.
Boom, yeah. Did it. And you can become a handsome plastic surgeon.
It is Nintendo related. So we did hop off track for a second, but we were back with
Donkey Kong
world record.
And he probably gets to feel boobies all day.
Oh. That's true.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah. Wow. I bet he's like a nose.
So does Billy Mitchell, but there's...
Yeah. Steve Wiebe was there, but also the Grinder was at GDC.
What the hell happened?
That was a good Craig.
Come on, you gotta be there for me. Come on,
Craig. Fail.
How was that a fail? Come on.
I thought you were gonna go. And Walter Day was there as well.
Oh, he's retiring, by the way.
I know.
Oh, I want to take over. You've got
the mustache for it.
Yeah, I got the yogi powers.
But the Grinder made its namesake because it's the next first person shooter from High Voltage Software.
This is the Left 4 Dead for Wii game?
Yes.
Okay.
So we got the exclusive on that at E3, and they showed it to us, and it was a first-person shooter, kind of like Left 4 Dead. And then about a month ago, Matt ran a feature on the fact that it was no longer going to be Wii exclusive, and the boards lit up and go, oh my god, I can't believe it. And it's coming to Xbox 360.
People
and
started caring
PS3.
About the game after they found out about that for some reason.
And then GDC, behind closed doors, I went back there and saw the Grinder. And it is not even a first-person shooter anymore.
It's not the same game at all.
Or on Wii.
Well, the Wii version wasn't there.
And you have no information about
it. No information on the Wii version, but I have a feeling that,
it's all about sandwiches now.
So what happens...
It's a sandwich. You build a burger the whole time.
It's just a grinder.
They're called hoagies.
Here's the pastrami. Slam.
The game itself is now... It's turned into a top-down... back in the day, High Voltage Software created a game called Hunter the Reckoning, and so this is kind
that's
of
big
the
who cares over and out.
Well, that this is their spiritual successor.
I'm not gonna
I'm not gonna allow you in this podcast anymore. We're gonna rag on
I'm ragging on that game. That game was ridiculous.
People have
fond
memories.
Mark likes it. Yeah.
Yeah, fond memories of that game.
I remember that there was some characters.
Yeah.
One of them was a girl, I think.
I remember it may or may not have been sold in stores at one point.
I reckon it was about hunters.
Oh, yes. So the game... Oh, high fives over
two
here.
Two high fives.
The game is a top-down shooter similar to, say, Robotron.
The new game or the
Gauntlet?
Game?
No, Gauntlet. Well, Gauntlet was not a dual analog shooter.
That's because it was 1987.
You know, Robotron came out before then, right?
Shut up. That game came out in 2084. It still hasn't even come out yet. Yeah. We're still waiting on 2084.
So it's very similar to that. It was very rough. They kind of quickly did this. They used the same polygonal models that they created for the first person shooter for this. And when you have a camera that's so far away, to have so
ugly.
Many polys on, it's not ugly. It's just unoptimized.
Ugly.
So
unoptimized. That's a nice way of putting it.
No, it's true. The frame rate was not doing well because the models are very high.
They did just put the camera up top.
Yeah.
And they kept the same models.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
Does not compute.
So, I mean, the game doesn't come out for another year and a half. Yeah. They got plenty of time to work on it.
But now it just looks like a run-of-the-mill top-down shooter. I mean,
well, according to the developer, it was going to be a run-of-the-mill first-person shooter. Or not run-of-the-mill, but it was certainly going to be compared to other first-person shooters on the platform.
That's good, because it was on Wii and it was online in a cool Left 4 Dead ripoff with werewolves.
They haven't decided on what to have it in the Wii version. I keep telling you this. Version is probably going to end up being the first-person shooter we already know it to be.
Okay.
They just haven't decided on it yet. But on the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, they don't want to compete.
Play it on Wii anyway.
They don't want to compete, so that's why it's a top-down shooter.
I think the Wii version is just going to be a driving game.
It's a kart racer.
At this point, yeah, it's a kart racer.
And then it'll switch to it being a top-down kart racer, just on one little track.
I love top-down racers.
You like those?
Don't make fun of those, that genre.
Iron Man, Stewart's,
you play, what was that XBLA one, the Smash Crashway kart?
Nope.
We played an 8-person one on Wii. Remember that?
Yeah, that was awesome. That was one from Konami. Drift Mania.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah. Each person uses a Wiimote and
or
a nunchuck.
Or a nunchuck or a classic controller.
Yeah. But that would preclude people from can you use each side of the sticks?
No, so someone could be using the nunchuck or the classic controller or the Wii remote, and then the person could be playing the classic controller.
Instead of having a nunchuck. Yeah.
So but yes, the Grinder is no longer a first person shooter, at least on the next gen system or current gen systems. Or high def systems, let's say that. That's because the Wii is a current gen system.
We need to figure out a better name. This is really dumb.
Why are we still following this game? It's just it's so early. It's gone through so many permutations. It was interesting because it was a Wii exclusive. Not anymore.
Well, High Voltage did make a name for itself with The Conduit and listening to people who followed the game saying, "Hey, you should control like this," and they would totally implement it. And that's playing fan service, and that's doing that. I think people enjoyed that.
And plus, so they kept that name up with Astro Boy, which that was terrible.
Astro Boy wasn't that bad.
They have
right?
different teams.
Okay, me saying something is not that
I
bad.
I know. I see what you play.
And then
really
I give
basis.
It a 4.
Well. Like most big development companies, they have multiple teams working on certain things, and the Astro Boy and the Door of the Explorer games that High Voltage works on, not the same team that works on the Conduit and the Grinder what is the other one they're working on, the Gladiator game?
Door of the Explorer.
Door of the Explorer. Thank you very much.
What is that called? That one looks kind of cool.
It's called Swiper's Revenge.
I keep thinking Rage of the Gladiators, but no, it's not. It's Tournament of Legends.
The Reckoning. Yeah.
But Tournament of Legends was the other game that I played behind closed doors. And it was a one-on-one fighting game that used Wii Motion, not Wii Motion Plus, but Wii Motion for the attacks. Mm-hmm. But if you don't like that, you can plug in the classic controller. Thank God. Because I really don't like playing action games where you just do this as an action.
Mm. He's shaking his hands, kids.
Yeah. This is not a video podcast.
Right.
I also saw at GDC NBA Jam, but I cannot talk about
that. It's on fire!
I can't talk about it because it's
on... Did you
see it
played in a giant hamster wheel?
Kaboom!
That thing was awesome.
That would be great. We should have put II in that thing. Totally should have put II in that thing. Called up Sega.
Yeah.
Get someone in that costume.
Yeah, big monkey costume.
Monkey ball costume.
Or we should have had Mark Summers outside of it. And
Mark,
find
it.
The flag! Find the flag! Move over to the giant waffles!
And
that's the blue plate special.
Sorry.
The one thing that was happening during GDC was I was playing Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver, and that was kind of stressing me out because I had to do both. And
Pokemon's stressful, isn't that about it?
Yeah, it's a long game.
Yeah, tall grass, man.
So by now, everyone's probably bought their copy on Sunday. Came out Sunday.
Which one did you get?
I got the
who's in your Pokewalker?
Which,
you want to battle
which,
right
which
now?
I got the
put him on the spot. Can't
I
think.
I got the Pokemon.
Yeah. What's your favorite
Soulmate?
Gold and Silver Pokemon?
I like the Whammy.
I like it. My favorite Gold
the
and Silver
Whammy
Pokemon.
Yeah,
Ikaruga.
I like the Chubby Cherub. I like that one. I like the Bubble Bobble. That one's good, too.
Yeah. No,
I don't play Pokemon.
You don't?
No.
Wow,
I came into work today. Came into work today, and apparently five or six of us have...
Grown men.
Yeah.
Grown-ass
walking,
men.
Walking around with their Pokewalker and showing off either Totodile or Hoot or what other Pokemons are in there?
I like Porygon
myself. Yeah. Hillary Goldstein, the editor-in-chief, showed me his Geodude Rock Nuts when I went to go ask him about my invoice. So that was a little surreal.
Yeah. And Chris from Dateline NBC came out and he said, "So, what are you doing here?"
I'm pretty sure Brian Williams has a Pokemon, too. So.
Yeah, well, he's okay.
So my review went up on Friday.
It was totally biased.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, people or the readers got upset, or at least the commenters got upset that I only focus mainly on the Pokewalker, which is...
You did?
Most of that review,
Did you tell them to...
Well, that's a little weird.
Did you tell them if they wanted to...
Okay, first of all, these are kids. They're not kids. These are readers
well, apparently,
that already know about the game.
Yeah.
Because they played it 10 years ago.
10 years ago. Yeah. They already know about it, and they're complaining about the fact that I was talking about the Pokewalker.
Okay, yeah.
How dare you talk about this game?
I could understand if because there are plenty of people who have never played this game. There are tons of people who got into it. And if those people said, you didn't talk about the game enough, I don't know about this game, that'd be fine. But all these people came in and said, you didn't talk about the game, which is the reason I love it, because I love that game and I play it every day. And I'm like, well, then you just answered your own question.
I will fully admit that it was very difficult to review this game simply because I've done it 7 times already. And I didn't want to repeat myself, and I wanted to kind of take a unique angle. And obviously the unique angle in the game itself is the Pokewalker.
Yeah.
That said, you read my review, I do talk about other things that happen in the game. People are just pulling out the fact that I've talked about the Pokemon Walker and how it's a remake and all that stuff.
You didn't talk about the Kimono Girls.
who's the opponent? Look,
you didn't talk about Bellsprout Tower.
Yeah,
I got that name wrong. Sorry, kids. You didn't talk about the
Charizard.
So, are you saying that when you read a movie review, you want every scene laid out for you?
Yeah, that's how I
you want
those.
Every you want to every have someone
when I saw Gus Van when I was reading the reviews for Gus Van Sant's reimagining of Psycho, I wanted to know everything about the story that I already saw.
Yeah,
everything about the
Flea
shots
was in it.
That I've that's right.
So I mean,
it's the same game.
You have to understand exactly. So
is there a Flea Pokemon?
Is there a Flea? No.
No, there's no.
No, they haven't done that
he's
yet.
He's just wearing a tube sock.
So they just haven't discovered it yet.
You're right.
So,
they haven't found that Pokemon.
Yeah, they haven't found that Pokemon yet. They're always discovering new Pokemon every day.
That's I want that for the next one. I want them to find out, because they already have Pokeruses that are viruses. I want all germs to also be catchable, battle, and I want you to shrink down microscopically and go into someone's body and fight the Pokemon germs with your Pokemon.
Who's the biggest Pokemon?
Blew
now?
My mind.
Yeah, boom.
Come
new
on,
game.
Pokey experts. Who's the biggest Pokemon?
Pikachu.
Now?
The biggest Pokemon.
The biggest. Yeah, you mean in size?
Oh, Wailord. Duh. Visit.
Really?
Yeah. He's a blue whale.
How many Snorlaxes is he?
Oh, he's like over a dozen Snorlaxes.
Wow.
He's gigantic.
Cool.
So in this game, the Pokemon can follow behind you, but they don't retain their size.
No, he's a tiny little Wailord.
I'm just staying silent because I'm trying to figure out how to talk to little kids.
Why don't you
in my
talk
van
about
after this?
Like,
you brought in Gus Van Sant, dude.
What's
dead
that?
People from 70s game shows some more if you want.
All right. Well, okay. Gene Rayburn was an excellent host.
Uh-huh.
He was probably
invented that microphone, by the way.
Oh my God!
You got him. Oh
my God!
The skinny microphone that Bob Barker made popular, and which the reason why it's a skinny microphone is so they could see the outfit that you're wearing.
Yes. Well, also because it didn't crease the suit.
Yep.
The his jacket, like, you know, keeping his arm down at his waist didn't crease his suit, so like the microphone would be waist high.
How you feel now? Smart
yeah. There
guy.
You go.
Wow.
You're like, oh, talk about a deck. Game show host, boo. Craig just backs me up on Gene Rayburn.
I'd almost rather talk about Pokemon.
Gene Rayburn is a Pokemon.
Yeah, Gene Rayburn is the Pokemon. He's the drunk one.
Are there any controversial Pokemon in the new game?
Controversial?
Yeah.
There's no new Pokemon, so.
You mean like.
Oh, there's no new one.
Like, what's the. The racial. Not Mr. Mime.
Jinx.
Thank you.
That was rough.
Yeah, that's. I think they stopped doing any sort of.
Insensitive
Pokemon. since Jinx.
Officially, she is a parody of those girls in Japan who go and get, like, heavy spray tans and dye their hair blonde and wear too much makeup.
Oh,
so they're super
Snookies.
Tan. Yeah, Snookies, the Snookies of Japan. And supposedly it makes fun of that. But
No, we
don't have those in America because that's every girl in California. So we just thought it was a black girl.
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
Where's your
Do you have a screeching to a halt sound effect?
Yeah.
My phone turning on. That's the screeching.
Hey, Gabe left some questions in here.
Well,
we
hang
can
on.
Read.
Well, no. So I gave Pokemon Heart Gold, Soul Silver an 8.5. Is that a clap or a tap?
That's a very polite.
Someone's tap dancing.
Someone's
tap dancing or something like across the floor. But yes, 8.5, a very respectable, great editor's choice score.
It is. You liked it then.
Yeah. It's just, it's starting to
I believe
wear on
a...
me that I have to play Pokemon all the time now.
For the record, I would have given it a 14.2.
Uh-huh.
So kids can just, you know, mull over that.
Stop calling
bit.
Our listeners kids. They don't like that.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, do you kids not like that?
No.
No one's ever said that.
They
to
prefer
me.
To be called elderly.
No.
Because they're
called
retirement
listeners.
Home.
They're called readers. They're called commenters.
Is that what we're calling the kids these days?
It isn't a. term of endearment. Okay. I love you, kids.
All right.
Yeah. Well, what about his audience, though? I mean, we gotta make a distinction. Pokemon.
Who also calls you hung out with Seth Green and calls his posse kids, right?
Seth Green does call his posse kids, and that is what a jerk. Was very confusing when there were actually children present.
How did he say that?
He when speaking to Weird Al on the set of his music video.
What
White
are you guys
Nerdy,
talking about? Man, this guy is just dropping more names than I was earlier.
He paused in his conversation about Dutch hookers to ask Weird Al if the kids could come in and watch the scene. So Weird Al comes out and comes over to all the teenager extras and goes, "Hey guys, we're filming the scene." At the same time, Seth Green walks out and heads over to his posse full of douchebags who are like, who brought in beer with them. Yeah. There was no alcohol on set. And goes, "Hey, kids, we're shooting a scene." And we all head for the one door and have this weird kind of awkward West Side Story face-off where we almost have a dance fight, but the gym's neutral territory, so we don't. There you go, Scott Bromley.
Wait.
Then we watch the scene.
Is this a dream you had?
No, this is my real life.
He just saw an episode of Entourage and was like, "Oh, Seth Green's a douchebag on that show. I'm going to make him a douchebag in real life."
This is a GDC?
No. See, a couple years ago, Jack was in the video for White and Nerdy Weird Al Yankovic.
You were in that video?
I was in that video.
Yeah, didn't you watch the IGN for Haiti podcast? Yeah. I had to kill time, so I talked about that story.
So listeners, download the YouTube version of White and Nerdy, and within 30 seconds you'll see Jack DeVries playing D&D with Weird Al.
Yep.
And then later on he'll be playing bowling.
Yeah.
There you go.
Way too big bowling shirt.
Before we go into reader mail, I wanted to talk about one game that's not getting a whole lot of traffic, and it should.
Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Oh yeah, that too. No, WarioWare DIY. I've been playing that over the weekend, making a bunch of mini games, micro games. And I'm having a good time.
How many games have you made?
Probably about 7 now.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
And it's pretty fun. It's still restrictive, but I have a good time working within those restrictions to figure out new ways of doing micro games.
Is it just like a series of if-thens? I mean, how do you program?
So So the idea is first you create your objects.
Yeah, your sprites.
And then your sprites, or they call them objects in here. So they do
a real professional Mario.
Well, they also call I think it's called the A. They have AI, but it's not artificial intelligence. It's something like it's like action integration or something.
Artistic integration.
So the idea is you create these objects and then you bring them in to the screen, and then you assign flags and actions and stuff like that to these objects, and then you set what they react to, whether they're being tapped or if the screen gets tapped or if a screen's getting tapped in a certain area, they move or turn flags on of other objects, and so you use that kind of scripting, which is all based off of the touchscreen, and create microgames.
Okay.
The restrictions are the game can only be 5 seconds long. But there's a long version, so there's 10 seconds long one too.
Who wants a long WarioWare?
And you can only tap. So you can only tap the screen or tap an object. You can't tap and hold. Can't tap and drag. Can't draw.
What about buttons?
No buttons. No D-pad.
Microphone.
No microphone. No camera. Very restrictive.
Do you use the screen?
No screen.
No. Can you open your
eyes?
You
have to close your eyes. But, it comes out in 2 weeks, and I thought it would be really cool to run around the office asking editors, give me an idea, like a one-sentence concept of what I should do in a micro game, and I will interpret it in the game itself.
Kitten battle.
And Scott kind of bowed out. He said, "I want to do my own."
Well, that's because I'm going to make kitten battle.
I heard some other grumpy reactions in the editor.
Yeah,
Jim Riley, leave me alone.
No, Jim Riley. Jim Riley gave me a good one. He said, "I want you to do a monster, the giant monster that has multiple eyes, and you have to poke his eyes out." I can totally do that.
Yeah.
But no, Eric Bredvig was like, "The game's only be 5 seconds long, and you can only."
Oh, that's broken! That's stupid! That's stupid! I hate all this stuff.
So I asked him, "What do you want?" He's like, I have no interest in it. I'm not going to help." I'm like,
"You know
why?
Because he has a money hat from Mario paying him off."
Yeah. Well,
because he's already made a game on the XNA Creators
Club. He does make games on XNA, so he has that going for him. But, you know, it'd be nice to kind of have him throw me a bone or something.
The only guy with game developing experience on staff.
Whatever. So by the end of the week, I'll probably put up a feature of editors' ideas that I've rendered into WarioWare. But I thought maybe it'd be cool if maybe the listeners would throw me a couple of concepts. Remember, yeah, 5 seconds. Five seconds long.
Could you make a video and put it on IGN
yep.
if they send it in?
Yep.
Awesome.
5 seconds long, one sentence, what the concept should be, and I'll try and render it out. Remember, it takes a while to do these things, so I might not be able to get to everybody's, but it at least gives me stuff to do in preparation for the review. Mm-hmm. Send your ideas to nvc@ign.com, and I will try and do my best.
Subject, Craigway.
Craigway.
The game.
let's move on to reader mail. Listener mail.
Reader mail. We've got letters.
I do have some Game Scoop letters here I could read.
No,
there's a lot more of them.
I love Greg Miller. He's the best guy ever. I love when he screams.
So here's a question from Peyton Nelson.
Good one.
Yeah.
The Peyton Nelson?
The Peyton Nelson. Subject, Pokemon Rumble.
Woo! Oh, no.
I love this game, but I can't seem to find a place where I can buy it in Canada. Any suggestions?
Well, do you guys have the internet in Canada? Because all you have to do is go onto that, because it's a downloadable game.
It's a downloadable game. It's not, you don't go into stores and buy it. You go onto the Wii Shop channel of your Wii.
How does he love the game?
I know.
Without...
I don't...
Doesn't
make much sense, but Pokemon Rumble is a download-only game off of the Wii Shop channel. It's probably like $10.
15.
Yeah. Is it 15?
Security.
Wow.
It's like 75.
Yeah,
Mooney.
It kind of a...
That's a buzzkill.
Yeah, it was. It's too expensive for what it is.
Yeah.
You sure?
It's just one long grind, right?
Yeah.
Hamza Ghani asks, hey guys, what's going on? Love the show. Keep up the great work. My question is about the new Pokemon Heart Gold game. I was wondering how it's possible to grab Pokemon from my old Pokemon games, Pokemon Blue version. I've been out of the Pokemon scene for quite a few years and want to import my Pokemon that I used as a kid. Any information would be awesome.
Blue, huh? You're going to have to pass it through a GBA.
Not even.
You're SOL.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there is no way to get any of the Game Boy, so red, blue, yellow, gold, or silver off...
Crystal,
thank you. Off of those...
Or pinball.
...to anything harder. You can get, from GBA onwards, you can go through PAL Park to get them onto DS games, but if you've got something older, you're just stuck.
And make sure if you do have a DS, or if you're getting a DSi, you keep your DS Lite if you're a Pokemon fan, because there's no Game Boy Advance cartridge slot on a DSi, so you wouldn't be able to import them if you have only a DSi.
Right.
You can't. There's no physical way to get your oldest Pokemon to contemporary
on the Game Boy
Even
Color.
If you went through a bunch of
the
games.
Game Boy Color does not have Game Boy Advance capabilities.
Yeah.
Or so I'm sorry. The DS does not have Game Boy Color capabilities.
Yeah, but you couldn't like pass those into your Game Boy Advance save.
Okay. How would you do that?
I don't know. I never played that stupid game.
No, okay.
They didn't offer any support between the.
They never did that
between
support.
The Game Boy ones and the Game Boy. So that's where you really failed.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that now, Ruby and Sapphire were failures?
When
so you can't.
Yeah.
Have
that, so that, so that makes no sense. Like,
so no, but here's
you...
the. Here's the deal. So when you turn on a Game Boy Advance, when you put in a Game Boy Color cartridge, it boots up into Game Boy Color mode. It doesn't boot up into Game Boy Advance mode. So
no, I thought they had a workaround though.
Yeah.
I never.
So you
did.
Can't. You so you
I
can't
think you could maybe put it in Nintendo 64 or something. I don't know.
No. Well, that would have been cool.
Yeah,
but
with
no.
Your Stadia.
Yeah,
there's no. There's no Game Boy.
That,
there's no Game Boy Advance plug-in for Nintendo 64.
So there's two eras of shareable Pokemon. There's the early era and now. So like you'd have to start at the Ruby.
If you started Pokemon, if you only played the Game Boy Black and White / Color era of Pokemon. And you've collected a bunch. They're stuck.
That's so sad.
They're done. They're going
to
just go
Someone
live there.
Someone needs to rescue those Pokemon.
We need Sarah McLachlan to come in here.
I'm sure someone can hack the data, but there's just no way to bring it into the game.
Yeah, actually, there are plenty of ways to hack if you take your Pokemon.
But if you're going to hack
websites,
if you're going to hack Pokemon, you're going to give yourself Mew and
it'll
all
be
that
yeah,
stuff
it'll
anyway.
Be you can basically clone them exactly and you can get them onto your DS, but I don't know why you bothered.
Yeah.
I
don't like people who hack Pokemon. I would never play that. I don't like playing random people in Pokemon simply because I just in my mind know that they've probably hacked their games at one point or the other and they're just
going
to win anyway.
Yeah, I don't really like going online unless I know the person.
Yeah. Okay, Nick Kolinen.
Nick Kolin?
Kolinen.
Oh, Kolinen. Kolinen.
I think he's
Kolinen.
Faking.
Kolinen.
Like, Kolinen.
You like think Culligan. I'm stuttering.
Yeah.
I didn't say Kolinen. I said Kolinen.
Oh, okay. Hey, Culligan man.
Yeah, exactly. Like
that. While following the coverage of DEC, on your site, I was reading about the upcoming Tiger Woods PGA Tour 2011. One feature that I did not see mentioned was We Speak. Well, there's a lot of things I couldn't talk about on 2011 because when I did the demo, all they were like was, here's a new way of controlling it. And then every time I ask them for something, you know, like, does it have online? Oh, we're not ready to talk about online. Does it have this feature? We're not talking about, you know, ready to talk about
is
that.
Is it a dating sim?
We're not ready to talk about that, Scott.
You can't rimshot your own jokes, you dick.
He was rimshotting me.
No, I was rimshotting
Does it have rimshots in it?
Can't talk about that.
The dirty kind?
Can't talk about it.
Okay.
Oh.
Is Rachel Yucatel an unlockable character?
Sorry, can't talk about that.
So he's just confirming one thing after another over here.
Is there a driving portion where you back out of a driveway and hit a tree?
Can't talk about that.
Damn. Yeah. You sound like Reggie.
That was a great interview, by the way.
Yeah, the one with Matt. That was really good. He got more information out of him than anybody else did.
But there was no information. You're reading too much into it.
But he got funny jokes.
Yeah. Justin Hamilton asks, "Dear Craig Mates, you're my mates."
Cool. I'm down with that.
All right.
Over the past,
I prefer to be called kids. But
am I officially a Craig Mate?
It says, "Dear
Craig
Mates." Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Oh. Yeah, you guys are Craig Mates.
Over the past while, I've noticed the ever-growing collection of WiiWare titles and spotted a few very nice ones that are well worth the money. But as I'm moving out of my parents' house in about a year, assuming everything goes well and naturally the Wii isn't coming with me, that makes me wary about buying WiiWare VC titles as they won't transfer. Do you think that Nintendo will ever reshape the shopping channel to create an account-based system possibly overlapping with and or based on Club Nintendo, therein allowing transfer titles between consoles?
Nope, next question.
Never. I will say that if you do lose out, if your Wii breaks, you can always call Nintendo and give them your new number, and they'll just move what's digitally attached to that one console to the new console.
So just lie, call Nintendo, take all your games when you move out.
Screw over.
Is it like
mom
a family
and dad.
Wii, and that's why he can't take it with
him?
Yeah,
I don't see why he can't take it with
him. Because I see,
like, obviously.
Because if he's wanting to later down the road buy a Wii,
yeah,
and
just swap it out.
I don't see that. Yeah, just trade when you get that.
Yeah. P.S. Tell Sam that his mustache is Craig-tastic. Your mustache is Craig-tastic.
I think it's Sam-tastic.
This guy live in my neighborhood or something?
PPS, write us an article called The Virtual Boy Pile, showcasing all of Nintendo's big blunders and a brief history of each. Hmm. The only thing I could really think of is the e-reader as a big blunder.
What?
I love the e-reader.
E-reader was awesome, but it was a blunder because they didn't support it.
What about the, I think the balance
I
board
supported
is a big
it.
Blunder.
You think?
Yeah, I think the balance board is a blunder.
How is it a blunder? They've supported it with two games first party.
Whoa,
okay.
Wow.
Whoa. First of all, one of them, I think we all agreed that we don't like, so Wii Fit Plus is not that great, and so the other one is a game
Fit.
None of us play at all ever.
What?
Ever.
Which is?
Which is the original Wii Fit.
Okay.
So Wii Fit is, I mean, sure, it's sold, but like,
what about Rock and Roll Climber?
Oh, my God.
That was my biggest disappointment of GDC this year. They
what about Wii Ski?
No, the balance board is a definite fail.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a fail. I just don't like using it. I'm not a big fan of
pointless,
it.
Pointless, heavy, expensive.
Now, the e-reader, on the other hand, that had so much potential.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, it was cool, but it was bulky and just a way to get it interacting with.
So it's
multiple
less of
systems.
A fail because it had potential. I mean, the balance
well,
board didn't
no,
have potential.
But here's the thing. So like with the e-reader, you had to have it plugged in as the cartridge of a Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
And they made cards that had levels on them for like Super Mario Brothers 3.
Which are great.
Yeah, but you had to have two systems to do it. You had to have it in one system and then put the game link controller, the game link cable in that system and then to the other system just to beam it over.
Yeah, everybody had two systems.
They needed a
pass-through.
So
they could play GameCube games with the link cables.
What they needed is like they needed for breakfast cereals to have cards in the breakfast cereal boxes and have Tony the Tiger's platform challenge.
That would be cool. At the time, Pokemon cards. Every Pokemon card had a little strip on it.
Yeah.
So like, if you had the card of a Pokemon, you didn't catch in there, and you went to this special cave, and did the e-reader thing, you could catch it in the game.
Oh,
Nintendo
nice.
Isn't really known for its hardware failures, though. It had plenty of third-party contributions to hardware failures. U-Force and all stuff
Force
like
was
that.
And
Power Glove.
Failure, I went to the future, and the Vitality.
People like to think that's
failure.
Yeah, exactly.
I will put money down. I will put money down that the Vitality sensor will not be a failure.
Really?
What's interesting is EA is coming out with their own for EA Sports Active 2.0.
I'm excited about that.
They have you have different pods that you wear on arms and legs and stuff like that, and one of them has a heart rate monitor on it.
Is this for a fitness game?
Yeah. What do you think the Vitality sensor is going to be?
I told you I want to measure my cat's heartbeat.
I think it'll be for, they'll do a trauma center. Yeah. And you actually pretend like you're a doing it in person. When that person gets nervous and their heart rate goes up, you lose.
No, vitality sensor would be really cool for sensing panic or heart rate increases and increasing in games and messing with games either way. Won't use it though. I like the fitness thing. I don't care about, but using it in interesting ways like that would happen. But hey, we came up with all these interesting ways the balance board would be used for. But look at all the games that are supporting this.
I'm gonna answer one more question, then we gotta go. This is from MC.
Hammer.
MC.
Just mc8squall@gmail.com.
You just gave his, out his email
address. No, now he's going to get spammed. I never get spammed, so I'm not going to worry about him getting spammed.
Yeah.
Has Nintendo said anything about Super Guide being used in Super Mario Galaxy 2, Metroid Other M, or even Sin and Punishment Star Successor?
Nope, that's the end of the podcast.
I heard that Super Mario Galaxy 2 will be. Nothing on Metroid Other M, because I think that's more of a... it's a hardcore game, and so it just wouldn't have an autoplay mode in there. Sin and Punishment Star Successor came out before New Super Mario Bros. Wii in Japan anyway, so I don't think they're going to go out and re-record it. Yeah, I think so.
It's out and about?
Oh, yeah.
Oof. I don't know if I can confirm that one, Craigie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You disagree?
I didn't disagree. I just said I can't confirm it.
Can't or confirm what?
Never mind.
Wow. I just pissed off Sam. All right. That's a great way
Who
of ending
getting
the podcast.
Off there? Come on.
Craig.
I can't excite. I'm just Craig, mate.
Well, yeah, you are.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Well, thank you, Mr. Pissed Off Sam.
I'm not pissed off. And thank you for commenting on my mustache, Mr. Reader.
Yes, Craiglicious. Thank you, Jack.
You're welcome, kids.
Thank you, Sound Guy.
Oh, you're welcome there.
Oh, that's our sound guy.
And thank
that's
you, Scott.
Yeah, you
my name is Craig, and we'll see you next week.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.